complexity, healthcare, and healthcare law. Three seemingly different concepts that are fundamentally intertwined and will largely dictate the future of healthcare going forward. That's quite the statement. But if you start to analyze the role healthcare law has had on healthcare, you will start to see, as healthcare becomes more complex, the disparity between healthcare and healthcare law will grow even larger. So let's start by first looking at complexity itself. What is this term? Complexity at its most simple level, if you just open up the dictionary, is defined as the state or quality of being intricate or complicated. Seems like it's just reiterating the definition of the word with synonyms. But if you start to look at complexity from an engineering, from a physics standpoint, you start to understand how the concept of complexity applies to healthcare. Complexity is the behavior of a system or model whose components interact in multiple ways and follow local rules, meaning there is no reasonable higher instruction to define the various possible interactions of the smaller components. Meaning, there's a certain level of chaoticness, non-linearity, in complex systems. If any of you have ever been involved in the healthcare system as a patient, as an employee, provider, administrator, you know very well how chaotic healthcare can be. Healthcare is, at its very definition, a complex system that, as we start to understand better, start to understand in more complex terms. I think the best way really to understand the future of complexity in healthcare and how healthcare law will impact the behavior in the now ever increasingly complex healthcare system, we have to not look in the future, but look towards the past and look at authorized sources of complexity in a humanistic framework. These would include the patriarchs of humanism, be it Aristotle, Thomas Aquinas, or Petrarch himself. In humanism, they defined complex concepts as those that have multiple components, can be viewed through multiple frameworks, but are still part of the same underlying concept. I know that sounds a little confusing. Let me simplify with an example. Thomas Aquinas was very big on talking about complexity and using it to define subjective terms. Take, for example, virtue, the concept of virtue, being good, behaving in a virtuous manner. Aquinas defined virtue as a complex concept. He said that you can behave intellectually virtuous, you can behave emotionally virtuous, but they're all part of the same underlying concept of virtue. They simply manifest in different ways. Take, for example, a student walking to school. That student can give his or her lunch to a homeless person passed along the street. That same individual can keep the lunch and use it to be mentally ready for an upcoming exam. One can be perceived as being intellectually virtuous, keeping the mind sharp for upcoming exams. The other can be seen as emotionally virtuous, giving the food to somebody who seems to need it more than the student does at the time. Opposite behaviors, opposite understandings of virtue, but the same underlying concept of virtue. Now, that may not be the best example, but it's an example in which two seemingly opposing actions are derived from the same underlying concept of virtue. That's how complex concepts really behave in healthcare. You can have seemingly opposing, seemingly similar concepts within the modern world that are really derived from the same underlying concept. That is complexity in healthcare as we understand it in modern terms. Complexity is really a shift in perspective. A shift from thinking linearly to thinking in terms of correlations, non-linearly. So things that may appear as opposites in one situation may appear very similar in other situations. Take, for example, the pharmaceutical industry. In the pharmaceutical industry, you have the manufacturers, you have the distributors. Then you have this amorphous body called the PBMs, the pharmaceutical benefit managers. They're really the price makers along the value chain of the pharmaceutical drugs. Then you have the retail pharmacies themselves. And obviously you have healthcare systems, insurance companies. The whole system is quite complex. But if you just look at the value chain itself, you have the manufacturers, the distributors, the PBMs, and the retail pharmacy outlets. In certain markets, the distributors and PBMs work together. In other markets, they compete. Same thing with medical devices. When you look at dialysis units, you have dialysis makers, the manufacturers. Those are the DaVita, Fresenius of the world. And then you have dialysis service centers where patients are treated with dialysis. Now, those are also operated by Fresenius and DaVita. And in certain situations, a DaVita clinic may use Fresenius devices, which may seem like a contradiction, but that shows the complex nature of healthcare in which perceived opposite actions can seem different, but they're really part of the same underlying value system that defines complexity in healthcare, be it in the pharmaceutical world or in the medical device world. Now let's take this frame of thinking, this perspective shift, and apply it to healthcare law. The disparity between healthcare and law grows because law is not capable of thinking in complex terms. Law, by definition, is very standard, is very rigid. That's why it's a law. If you're driving on the road and the speed limit is 40, it can't be 45 in some instances and 50 in other instances. It's 40. There's a set standard. So when you take a complex system like healthcare and you try to superimpose it into a straightforward rubric like law, you're going to have errors of approximation. There may be certain instances where a driver may be justified in going 45 or 50. Take it a family emergency. Take it a person is being chased by an assailant. There are a host of examples in which you could justify speeding above 40 miles per hour. But the law states you have to drive 40 miles per hour. So in those circumstances, is the law justified or are the exceptions justified? Now, this is kind of a straightforward, kind of simplistic example, very much like the virtue example, but they highlight certain fundamental contradictions of thought that when you apply to the healthcare realm become quite significant. Because in non-financial healthcare crimes, you're looking at the specific behavior of that person within a healthcare context. You cannot separate the context from the action itself. Yet the way healthcare law is developed, you only look at the individual actions. You only look at the 40 miles per hour speed limit. You don't look at the context underlying the law. Now, the speed limit example is different from the healthcare example because everybody is familiar with driving on the road. Not everybody is familiar with the intricacies and nuances of healthcare behavior. So when a prosecutor, an investigator, or a judge is looking at individual actions in healthcare, they have to glean whether those actions warrant certain criminal sanctions by looking at the healthcare behavior in its entirety. Now, criminal behavior is called, in a fancy way, mens rea. It refers to criminal intent. The little translation means guilty mind. And that is really kind of the bread and butter of legal theorists when they look at establishing mens rea to prove guilt in a criminal trial. But what's interesting is that mens rea itself is a complex concept that can be exemplified in multiple ways. The mens rea concept, for those theorist of law, the jurisprudent theorist, is really broken down into four categories. One, acting purposely. The criminal had an underlying conscious object to act. Acting knowingly. The person in question is pretty much certain that a crime will result in a specific action. Acting recklessly. The person in question disregards substantial or unjustified risk. Acting negligently. The person in question was not aware of the risk, but should have been aware of the risk. Now, this is very interesting because the first two, acting purposely and knowingly, essentially means that there were certain actions that the person in question committed. So if a surgeon intentionally cuts an artery on a patient, that's a crime if the surgeon intended to hurt the patient. The latter two, acting recklessly or negligently, are essentially negative behaviors. The absence of a behavior then justifies the criminality of that behavior. So for example, now this is kind of now where we're leading to. If a physician prescribes opioids to a patient, but doesn't necessarily perform the necessary checks and balances, then that person may theoretically be acting recklessly or negligently, in a sense that the patient, that the provider, the physician, should have been aware of the substantial and unjustified risk, but either was not aware or did not understand it properly. Now, that is a very difficult line for prosecutors and judges to follow, because it's very difficult to understand what is going on in the minds of a provider, a physician, a surgeon, a nurse, in certain instances where they do not consciously perform a specific action. If that surgeon did not cut that artery, did the surgeon have intent to hurt the patient? If the physician did not perform a certain act, did the physician have intent to behave recklessly or negligently? The problem is that in healthcare, being such a complex concept, there are multiple expressions of the same underlying behavior that may seem counterintuitive in certain instances, but may also appear similar in other instances. That's when you develop another concept in law called actus reus, which is the act or omission that comprises the specific elements of a crime as defined in the statute. So what happens here is you have this complex concept of mens rea that can be defined by the presence of actions or the absence of certain actions that can be used to elucidate intent. But intent must then be defined by specific elements to then correlate to that specific essence. The issue really then comes down to the contextual understanding of healthcare prosecutors and healthcare judges when looking at these certain cases. Do they really understand the context enough to understand the framework of mens rea as a complex concept within another complex concept, healthcare? You essentially have two complex concepts coming up to each other, forming another chaotic system. Now, the complexity of integrating mens rea and healthcare behavior is not linear, is not additive. As you would imagine, a complex system behaves differently when the individual parts are separated from the sum. When the sum of the two parts, when mens rea and healthcare, both complex systems, are integrated together, the analysis and the interpretations of the behavior become fundamentally different than looking at each individual act alone, because they're both complex. Now, as healthcare becomes even more complex, the disparity between how we interpret the healthcare law relative to healthcare behavior will grow even wider, creating even further problems in healthcare, as now the law will no longer regulate behavior, but define behavior, because the healthcare law will be a constraint on healthcare behavior to the detriment of patients, which is why we have so many casualties ongoing with the opiate epidemic, why we seemingly seem to have new drug epidemics all the time, be it methamphetamine, fentanyl, vaping. All of these crises emerge from superimposing the constraints of law onto the complex system of healthcare and superimposing the complex concept of mens rea with the complex concept of healthcare that together form a vastly different complex concept that's now constrained by healthcare law itself. What we need is a proper framework to understand the complexity of mens rea and healthcare behavior, and then structure healthcare law to properly address the complexity that are underlying the integration of these two systems. That's quite a handful. But I think if the framework is set and is done correctly, a right framework will allow for the vast array of interpretations necessary for judges and prosecutors to do their jobs ethically and ensure that healthcare providers behave in a manner that cannot be construed as criminal while behaving in a manner that can also be right for patients. As I'd mentioned, while at times that may seem like a contradiction, there is at times when they are both aligned. And the proper framework will understand the difference between when they contradict and when they align. It comes down to creating the framework for legal interpretation, recognizing the system is fundamentally complex and the interpretation should be in accordance. Thank you.